incomprehensible it just didn't sound like praying, because she was earnestly muttering a prayer, and the priest came over to her and said, "How dare you?" Her name was Hannah. "And how dare you come into the temple inebriated like this, mumbling and muttering?" And she said, you know what she could have said? "I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to God." Amen. But she didn't. She began to explain to him that she was barren. She was praying that God would give her a child. Amen. She was praying from the heart and not from the head. Everybody say, "From the heart and not from the head." Praise God. But as we prayed, I could feel the Spirit of God out beside Highway 60, as strong as I've ever felt Him in the Holy Church of God behind the pulpit. I knew God was there. I knew God put it in that man's heart to have us pray. And I knew those men were being either touched, because they didn't leave. They could have walked away. And after the prayer was over, the man that had really said he lost his faith, he said, "My job in Vietnam was to load transport planes with the bodies of young men in body bags to be shipped back for burial." And he said, "I handled dead young men day in and day out." And he said, I begin to question, this is what he told me after the prayer, "How can a loving God allow this?" And he said, "I lost my faith in Vietnam." He talked about becoming addicted to drugs and coming home. And he said, "There's always been something in me that is missing." But today, you see, there's something about the manifest presence of God that begins to touch the deepest needs and answer some of the deepest questions of our life, that theologically I could have tried to explain to him how God was not responsible, that sin was responsible, amen, and Satan was responsible. But listen to me, there's nothing like the presence of God being made real to answer some of these deep questions. His deep question was answered, that he felt out beside. And I'm not one of these felt people. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But let me tell you something. God wants to validate and verify our faith by manifesting His presence. Amen. They felt Him. I felt Him. We knew He was there. And the God that he felt was not the God that he had misinterpreted. He felt a good God, a gracious God, a God who hated to see the same things that he hated to see. When Jesus returns, they're going to beat their swords into pruning hooks. And they're going to beat their spears into plowshares. The military budgets of the entire world, can you imagine this, will be turned into agricultural development. And there won't be the millions who are dying from hunger in our world. Can you imagine the military budgets of the world? The billions upon billions that's used for wars and the preparation for war all being turned in, amen, in this reign of peace. The only reason there's peace is because he ruled with a rod of iron, by the way. Amen. Amen. But there will be peace on earth. The wars will cease when he comes. Until the last war, the war of Armageddon. But there will be peace upon the earth. Amen. But all of that's going to be turned into the development of agriculture. And no one will ever go to bed hungry in this world. Amen. When Jesus, he won't have to multiply the fish and loaves to do it. Amen. But that presence of God begin to answer those questions and resolve those issues. Amen. You can go into a church that is absolutely theologically right on, and we can try to deal with people's heads, but we need more than just the Word of God to touch our intellect. Can you say amen? No matter how beautifully delineated, amen, we bring it forth, we need the presence of God to validate it and to verify it. When Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always," it wasn't just something they held in their head. It's something they experienced in their life as they went out and preached and proclaimed the gospel. Paul was not alone in that prison cell. Paul was not alone when he laid his head down to be taken off and die a martyr's death. Someone was with him. Can you say, man, that this was a promise that Christ could keep because the Holy Spirit came to manifest his presence in the life of those believers. Somebody give God praise. And he said, my grace is sufficient. It's not about a theological concept of grace that gives you what you need mentally to endure. Amen. His grace has provided an open door into the presence of God and an open door for the presence of God to come to you. Can you say amen? I told the story of a man on an oil rig when that oil rig got blown down that he was in some level of that oil rig that sank to the bottom of the ocean, and he was in that little airspace. He said there was about 12 inches, enough for his head to bob up and down in the darkness of this place, and the rest of it was water, and it was pitch black. And he said in that place, by the way, amen, sometimes trials and tests can really develop your prayer life. Amen. Sometimes trials and tests can make you seek the presence of the Lord. And in that blackness, his personal testimony was, he said, I knew that if the water came up a little more, death was imminent. I knew there was no way out. I couldn't find my way out. I knew I was trapped in the darkness with water up to my chin and oxygen that was only in this area, this layer that was not exposed to water for a limited time. And he said, I prayed. And I said, Lord, have mercy on me. Help me. I need your help. And you could tell by all the wording of his testimony that he knew about God, believed in God, but he wasn't a dedicated, devoted man. But now all of that was changing. God became so vital to him. And he said, I thought even if death is imminent, he said, I've got to have something to face it with, because it's not an easy death to drown in the darkness all alone. And he cried out, mainly, not just for deliverance from his predicament. He didn't even see how he could be delivered or if he even deserved to be delivered. Some people use God so much, their faith is so injured in themselves that they're afraid to believe God when they really need God, because they're afraid he won't answer. Because he doesn't need to answer. There's nothing, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't have to do it. It's not obligated to people who are covenant breakers. Amen? But he prayed. He just prayed for the mercy of the Lord. I tell you, we got a merciful God. Amen. Everybody say we got. He won't let you use him, but if you're sincere, he'll show up. Amen. Amen. If you're sincere, God will come to you. If you're sincere, he prayed a sincere. Listen, there was a man in a similar predicament. His name was Jonah. He refused to obey God in direct rebellion to the revealed will of God. He said, I'm not going to Nineveh. And you know why he didn't want to go to Nineveh? Don't think he just didn't want to take the time or be inconvenienced. Nineveh had a reputation for killing prophets and those that God sent. Many of them were sown asunder. That means some of them, literally through one Bible commentary, many of them through the historical writings of that time, were absolutely put between two teams of horses. I mean, eight horses here, eight horses here, teamed up together, and they're with ropes that were used for ships to hold ships to their moorings. They were tied to their around their arms and around their feet and their ankles, and then the horses were beaten till they both took off in pain, to pulling with all of their might until a person was literally, their limbs were ripped from their torso. So if you think that Jonah just didn't want to take the time to obey God or had a rebellious heart, you're wrong. Jonah was afraid to go down there, because here's how he figured it. He figured, I'm going to go down there. They're going to kill me like this, and they're not going to listen to God anyhow, because they didn't to everybody else that went down there. So why should I go down and suffer this kind of death and not accomplish anything? He said, I go to Tarshish. He got a boat headed for Tarshish, and the wind came up and a storm came up, and it got so bad it was going to sink that boat. And Jonah knew, we're all going down. It's all my fault. And the guys actually, a way of trying to determine things back then, they cast lots. It fell on him, and he said, yeah, you're right. I'm the man. I'm the source of your trouble. Amen. This trouble, see, is my fault. I'm the one that's disobedient to God on board here. He said, if you guys throw me over, your problems will cease. It'll all be between me and God then, not me and you and God. Get me off this boat and everything's going to be okay. And they just hugged on him and says, oh, no, we're just going to pray and intercede for you, brother. Oh, no, the boat's about to sink and it's all your fault. Why, we wouldn't think of throwing you over. You wouldn't throw us over, would you? Well, of course he would. They would too. Amen. They didn't hesitate to grab him up and give him the heave-ho. Can you say amen? They said, if he's the problem, we'll eliminate the problem right quick. And they just took him and threw him out into the sea. Well, when he got out in the sea, it was him and God, wasn't it? And a whale, we call it a whale, but the Bible didn't call it a whale. That's sheer speculation. The Bible said God prepared a fish. Can you say amen? God prepared a fish. It did not have to be a whale. In all probability it was, because they have found people, that have been swallowed by whales. Don't normally eat people. Really, they don't. Whales eat plankton, most of the bigger ones. And plankton's that microscopic stuff that they seine as they go through the water. Whales are not people eaters. Great whites are. Amen. But God prepared a fish. God prepared a fish. Amen. I'm telling you, sometimes my imagination just runs wild when I think God is in it. Because I think, God could have took a minnow and expanded him big enough to hold a man. I mean, listen, God prepared the fish. Everybody's trying to rationalize a God who is supernatural. You can't rationalize this God. Can you say, man, you can't put him in your scientific box, in the perimeters of what the laws of logic or the laws of physics allow? Can you say, man? Someone said, how can you believe? Do you really believe? They asked me, and they've asked many others of my type and my ilk. They said, do you really believe that a man lived in the belly of a fish? Do you really believe that? Amen. Even Bible professors that are not really believers, amen, that teach in theological seminaries said, this was an analogy, this is an allegory, this is something like the Narnia Chronicles. No, this wasn't the Narnia Chronicles. When he multiplied the fish and loaves, it was real. Can you say amen? When he parted the Red Sea, it was real. See, our God is almighty. Can you say amen? If he's not almighty, he isn't God. I said, if my God can't prepare a fish to hold a man, he's not the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible said, let there be a firmament, and everything you see with your eye was not made with anything that you can see. God big enough to say that and do that can prepare a fish. Multiply fish and loaves. Save your soul. Change your life, heal your body, deliver you, come to you. Can you say amen? Jonah down in the deep with seaweed, entangled with the seaweed that was also in this creature, prayed a prayer of repentance. Beautiful, sincere prayer in the book of Jonah. Amen? Out of the deep he cried. This man was in the same situation as Jonah. And he prayed, not near as eloquent a prayer either, but he cried out to God. And what happened wasn't an immediate deliverance, because, by the way, if you're wondering if he lived to tell it, that's the only way we know the story. Amen. He did live to tell it. But immediate deliverance didn't come. It took time for them to respond from the SOS. It took time for divers to set up a situation to go to that depth and then to bring him up. And the oxygen had to last all that time. And the man had to not give up and have courage all that time. And this was his personal testimony. He said, when I prayed, he said, suddenly in the darkness of that pitch black and in the terror of drowning in that darkness, he said, he didn't say peace came to me. He said, I sensed that a person was there with me. There was an immediate sense. There is someone here with me. And he said, and I knew who that person was. And he said, when I sensed the presence of that person with me, he said, then the peace came. He said, not just peace in knowing that I'm going to be delivered, but even if I die, amen, I have the peace to face that. As are you listening to it? Because of the presence of this person who is with me. We used to sing the old camp meeting song, I have somebody with me to share my heavy load. I feel His presence near me every day. Though trouble overtake me along life's weary road, I have somebody with me all the way. That was not a theological proclamation from our preacher that we had given mental assent to. This was not something we held as a truth within our intelligence. Amen. This is something we experienced in our life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Those guys that saw Jesus die like a lamb for the slaughter, powerless against the people seemingly that came to take Him, not understanding He was willingly laying His life down, not understanding what the blood and body meant, that when He was talking to them, it was way after the cross and after the resurrection before they understood the Last Supper like we understand it now. How many know what we're getting ready to celebrate is victory with a capital V? Amen. How many know death was conquered through His cross and His death on? Hula bakasunda. Satan's power was broken through His blood on that cross. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But listen to this. They were so afraid because they said, if He, the man who had all this miracle power and God was with him, if they took him and they did that to him, what defenses do we have? Peter denied him publicly. They all gathered in a place to hide. And after the resurrection, as they were still hiding and trembling and pondering these things that they had heard and seen, Jesus appeared and was made manifest to them. He didn't knock on the door. He just showed up. Amen? In His glorified body, He just showed up. And He told them, go and preach the gospel to every creature. And lo, I am. You won't see me, but it won't change what's going to happen. I am with you always. Amen. So my grace is sufficient means that this barrier, this veil between us and God has been broken. Not only can we go to God. Come on, church. Not only can we go, we always talk about going to God. We can approach God. Not only can you go to God can come to you. Can you say amen? And God will come to you. God wants to come down in church services and manifest Himself. Amen? Amen. We talk like we don't need that. Some places act like they don't even want that. Because we got an eloquent preacher with a degree and he's reading from the book, the Bible. So we got the Bible. We don't need the manifest presence of God. Yes, we do. Lo, I'm with you always is empty and meaningless unless He manifests His presence. It's not something you hold in your head. It's something you sense in your heart. Glory to God. That's why and what did it do? What effect did that have upon those apostles? Those fearful, vacillating, double-minded, ready to give up and quit and deny the Lord apostles. What changed them? What radically gave them boldness and turned them around? It's the promise, lo, I am with you always. They were willing to die and didn't fear it after that. Can you say amen? Peter's devotion came, amen, after that. But the fear was conquered right there in that room. Glory to God. Can you say amen? And the fear was conquered in that man. Can you imagine having peace, amen, down in that kind of a situation? I mean, it's bad enough to be anywhere, you know, to drown, period, but to be in the dark, encapsulated in wherever he was working, and water up to your neck. Can you imagine just the horror and the loneliness of being totally alone? And when he prayed and said there was a person, I couldn't see. There was no language, no verbal communication, but there was a sense. I don't know if you've ever, not long after we became Christian, we began to sense the presence of the Lord. Amen. And it was awesome. In fact, it was a little scary when he would come. Amen. Amen. We had two visitors. We had angels come before. Did you see them? Didn't have to. Well, then how do you know they came? If it ever happens to you, you'll know. I guarantee you. I'll tell you what. These are not fat babies with wings like you saw at Valentine's Day's coming up. You're going to see some misconceptions of angels. Every time they saw them in the Old Testament, they fell as dead men. Amen. The Bible said that when an angel come to Daniel and appeared to Daniel, amen, the Bible said that his knees began to shake so bad they smote against one another. Amen. Can you imagine shaking that bad that your knees begin to beat on each other? I seen a monkey do that one time, amen, that you wind up, but I never seen a man do that. But Daniel did it just because an angel showed up. And he wasn't even a warrior angel either. He was a messenger angel. Amen. Well, he was too. I'm sorry. It was Michael. No wonder he was shaking. Amen. It had to be Michael, because Gabriel is the messenger, the premier messenger angel of the Bible. But Michael is the warrior angel. Can you say amen? And his knees smote one against another. Praise God. Amen. But God, there was a presence of God. There was a manifest presence of God. We felt the demonic forces. Very young in our Christian experience, we were exposed to the demonic world. And we felt, we sensed, we knew, and I can't explain that, but if it ever happens to you, I'm going to tell you something. You'll never doubt it the longest day you live. This is not emotionalism. There was no one around us creating something to psychologically psych us out. And when it happened, and God gave us victory through the blood of Jesus. And that victory remembered and rehearsed is giving us courage to face everything that we might face from the netherworld, because there's not a demon in hell, amen, none of the minions of hell, amen, have any power against the mighty name of Jesus Christ our Savior and His shed blood. Hallelujah. 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 But this world is real. And these entities and these beings are real. Jacob had a dream. Amen. He laid his head down on a stone and went to sleep. God took him out in more than a dream, took him out in a trance. And what did he see? Amen. This world. Come on, folks. What did he see? I'm not going to go into all this dun, 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 dun. You know, whatever the Twilight Zone theme is, I've forgotten it. Amen. Anybody know it? Thank you. That's good. Amen. But what he saw could explain some of the UFO things. I don't know. I know one thing. I know that he saw what he described as a ladder. He saw a corridor between earth and heaven. He saw a connection between earth and heaven. You know what that proves? That God is involved in the affairs of men. Somebody say, God in heaven is involved in the affairs of men and women upon the earth. Oh, say it again. God in heaven is personally involved in the affairs of men and women on the earth. Woo! What did he see? What did God show him? He said, listen, you're not alone down there. You're not on your own down there. He said, angels are ascending and angels are descending. There's a constant going and coming, ascending to get instructions, descending to carry them out. Amen. The New Testament says that angels are servants, amen, of the Lord for your sake. And they've come to serve the righteous, hallelujah, in his behalf. Wow! God is involved, church. God is involved. God is involved. I remember my wife running into the bedroom as she was having her devotions in the living room just a year or two after we became Christians. She said, there's an angel in there. There's an angel in there. There's an angel in there. She was scared. She jumped in the bed and covered her head up. She'd been praying. The angel showed up and she just covered her head up. Well, if Daniel's knees smote once against another, amen. See, this is all in the supernatural. When somebody's in a room more real than the people you see, and you can't see them, but they're more real than the people you can see, how can you explain that? It's a presence. Everybody say it's a presence. It's a presence. If angels aren't real, then we're all nutty. Amen. Had too much pizza, only we couldn't afford pizza back then. Can you say amen? No, listen to me. We experienced that. God led us. I ran into the living room. I wanted to grab me one, hug me one, do something, anything. Amen. I love God and everything about God. And if angels in there, I want me some angel. Amen. I'm coming to get you, boy. Amen. I heard about a man that grabbed a hold, amen, and said, I won't turn you loose till you bless me. Amen. And when I got in there, it was kind of different. Amen. It was a holy presence. Holy presence. The only thing I want to do is get down on my knees and cry holy. Amen. I want to be clean. I want to be clear before Almighty God. Actually, the fear of the Lord Amen. It's a reverence. It's a reverence for the holy. When you're exposed to the holy, it makes you want to cry holy. It makes you want to say, woe is me. It makes you want to clean up. I remember the man, I've told you the story, a young man that was into all kinds of Eastern religions, and he was into Buddhism and Confucianism and everything the Beatles were into, and he came to Christ, and he began to teach and preach, especially a lot of college students that were into the same things, looking for fulfillment, and he began to tell them about Jesus. Amen. He said, I used to go out and pray, and I used to go to the woods to get away from everything and everyone. And he said, it got so holy. He said, sometimes I would just take my shoes off. I felt like I would be praying and the presence of God would become so real. I'd take my shoes off because I felt like I was standing on holy ground. And he said, I was standing out there praying one day. And he said, I was praying, Lord, manifest yourself to me. Lord, I feel the presence of the angels around me. Manifest yourself to me. I love you, Lord. I'm seeking you, Lord. Seeking your will. Seeking your purpose for my life. He said, I was just praying and I was kind of just felt the glory of the Lord on my face and my body. He said, I was backing up and I felt feet. I felt shoes with my heels. And he said, I jumped forward. And I thought, oh my Lord, there's an angel of the Lord standing right behind me. And I've stepped on his toes. And he said, I whirled around to see the angel. And I had taken my shoes off and forgot about it. And I thought, in his innocence, in his naivety, in all of his, you know, he had a heart that was sincere in seeking the Lord. Amen. And I remember when he preached for us at the Holy Church of God, there was a lady that was reading a book that he mentioned that was one of those books that's trying to blend Jesus with all of this existential stuff and all of this New Age stuff. And she cried out and screamed, I've got that book and I'm in error. And she ran to the altar and prayed through. We have absolutely relegated in the Church of Jesus Christ that spiritual world to Hollywood to define. This world should be being defined by the Church of Jesus Christ. This world is real. This world exists. Angels are real. In fact, his angels got real popular for a while. The problem is everyone could have them. Amen. They were not unique. The Bible said they are real, but they are unique to the covenant people. Angels are going to be instrumental when the judgment comes. Every plague comes on the earth during the judgment, an angel is executing it. And it's God's angels. Can you say amen? An angel with a bowl, an angel with a vial, an angel with a trumpet, and then the things begin to happen. Amen. Are you listening to me? God is involved in the affairs of this earth. Amen. And spiritual beings are always in transit. Amen. Coming and going. Coming into the presence of God, going to carry out his purposes. Amen. We even got a doctrine out there that we could command the angels. What an incredible error. What an incredible pride of man. How pompous can we get? They don't work for us. They serve us because he is their boss man. Can you say amen? How many know God is the boss of the angels? How many know he's our boss too? How many know it's his word that holds power? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to me carefully. So here we are in a generation of Christians that's happy to have the head knowledge of things. Even in the charismatic movement, we've got principles of blessing. We're not interested in venturing any further. We're not even talking about spiritual warfare anymore. We're not even preaching about the armor of God. I believe we've got a lot of people trying to do battle with their biblical principles in their head instead of a reality in their heart. And we need that reality in our heart. Why did God expose you to that world? Because he wanted us to know that wherever the devil showed up, we're dealing with a spiritual enemy. Amen. This is not flesh and blood that we're dealing with. Every distraction in your life, everything that comes up against you, behind it there are spiritual forces at work. That's the bad news, that you are no match for them in yourself. Here's the good news. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, every one of those demons and minions are subject to that great name. Amen. They cannot stand up and shake their fists of defiance against the mighty one of glory. They have been conquered. They're not going to be conquered. They have been conquered by him at the cross. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Hallelujah. So once we move out of that spiritual consciousness and understand that angels are here to help us and demons are subject to us, then we begin to just look at everything after the flesh and every circumstance after the material and the circumstantial. And we don't do battle in the heavenlies. Because we don't know how to do battle in the heavenlies, we lose battles. Because our battle is not with flesh and blood. Ephesians 6:10. But with powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. When's the last time you heard a message on that? Can you say amen? Has the demonic world decided to disarm? No, they haven't. The church has decided not to keep, amen, people abreast of the reality of spiritual warfare. Can you say amen? I believe a lot of the error that is being taught today is because we are not effective in spiritual warfare. Amen. And the deceiver has been able to come in. I actually believe some of these folks out there are not just absolute heretics that are absolutely know what they're doing and manipulating. Some of them obviously are. I believe some people have bought into a message, amen, that they believe is right, but it really isn't right, and they don't have enough discernment to test it. And once a lot of people follow them, the pride settles in, and that pride won't let them listen when someone tries to delineate Scripture to them. How can I be wrong with all these people applauding me? How can I be wrong with all these other people that are preaching the same thing I am and getting rich and famous for doing so? They got God's blessing. Oh, really? Oh, really? This is not about how many people follow you. This is not about how many people listen to your tapes. This is not about how much money they pour in. This is about whether or not it's true. 10,000 people falling a blind man don't make him see. Can you say, man? 10,000 people falling a blind man are going to end up where he goes. The blind follow the blind. They all end up where? In the ditch. They leave the straight. They leave the narrow. And I'm amazed that the church world doesn't deal with the spiritual dynamic anymore. It's because of the earthiness of our message. When we got the power of riches, who needs angels? When we got the applause of the people, who needs demons subject to you? So let's don't deal with any of that anymore. Let's just deal with the here and now, the felt needs, and the physical world. In the book of Daniel, I'm talking about manifest presence. This is not in line. My message was going to be, let me see what it was going to be. It's very appropriate. So appropriate, I forgot about it already. It was going to be proclaiming the cross and pleading the blood. Very appropriate for Communion Sunday. Difference is, amen, this Communion Sunday, God wants to tell us something else. He wants to tell us that what happened on that cross qualifies us, amen, to go to war in the spiritual arena and to fight a battle to the death where we win every time. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Where we win every time. And to be emboldened to utilize that armor because of the promise of His presence. I know Pentecostal emotionalism has brought a lot of justified criticism to this movement. But when you do away with the wildfire to the degree that you don't allow any expression of the presence of God anymore and try to biblically justify, amen, salvation without a life-changing event. Someone asked a question the other day. I went down and I prayed the sinner's prayer, but I don't feel any different, and I still feel. And the man went to great length explaining how you don't have to feel anything. You're saved forever. You don't have, listen. His spirit, There's something beyond man. There's something beyond correct theology. Amen. The reason you know you're saved is because of a witness that the Spirit of God bears witness to within you. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Come on, there's a spiritual dynamic to this thing. Are you listening to me? We keep pushing that aside. We got people giving mental assent when there's supposed to be an encounter with the living God when you get saved. Can you say amen? Listen to me. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I didn't get up from the altar with any doubt that I had met the King of Glory. Can you say amen? I didn't have to have nobody tell me or reassure me, because something happened down on the inside of me and it changed me. Hallelujah. And it's still changing me today. In every true revival, something changes. And what changes is there's a manifest presence of God. That changes everything. You can preach the same message with the manifest presence of God, and it rings different to the ear. It resonates different within the life. Can you say, man? Sometimes when I'm preaching here, I feel the presence of the Lord. And I'm emboldened. It doesn't matter that we're small anymore. God is so big and vast. Amen. I look at it this and said, it makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. And I give you a message I would give to a camp meeting crowd. And don't I do it every Sunday? Hallelujah. Praise God. That's because I know He's here. And He's in it. And little is much when God is in it. Hallelujah. And God is in it. Very young, God let us experience the angelic world, and God let us experience the demonic world. That demonic world is fearful in a different way. The fear of the Lord is you're in the presence of something so holy. It's awesome. You're awestruck by it, taken back by it. The demonic world, the fear is strangling. It's a fear that it's hard to describe, because you feel the presence of a person, but the person you feel is evil and not good. And it's frankly scary. God let us encounter the demonic world when we were staying in a motel room, taking a missionary to the Miami airport, following a caravan of two, trying to get goods to people in Jamaica. In that motel room, as we prayed for the baptism in the Holy Ghost, to be fluent in tongues, for the power of God to flow through us, we were praying in a sweet communion prayer, expecting God to show up. But let me tell you something about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a power gift. And Satan doesn't care if people get it for the giddy feelings they get. He doesn't really mind if you're seeking the Holy Ghost so you can have an experience for experience sake. What bothers him is if you are being filled with the presence of God, with miracle working ability, so that you can actually begin to express, God can express through you that presence that He's manifesting to you. Now through the Holy Spirit, He can manifest it through you. Are you listening to me? He doesn't just manifest to you anymore. He can manifest through you. He manifested to people in the Old Testament, but He couldn't manifest through them. He came on Samson, and Samson did mighty things with the power of God on him, but God could not be manifest through them in the New Testament. They could lay hands on people, and that gift would manifest to them. Samson couldn't share it with anybody. The New Testament believer can share it with everybody that comes to Christ. Are you listening to me? Oh, call the elders of the church, your spirit-filled bunch. The elders, the ones that are full-blown and full-grown in the Lord, not appointed board. Amen. This is not a political body. This is spiritual people that walk with God. Can you say amen? There's a big difference. I work with some people appointed to a political position in a church, and I would want them to pray for my dog if it was sick. Because they blended so well with the world, you couldn't tell them apart till Sunday when they put their little tag on. Elders are spirit-filled people. Can you say amen? Elders are people that walk with God, that know the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Can they get anything done? Amen. If God wants it done, you bet they can. They'll lay hands on the sick. Amen. They'll anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. They'll lay hands on them. Well, something's going to manifest here. Amen. Because it's the Lord that raises them up. Not those elders. It's the Lord. But there's something in us that can manifest that presence. Can you say amen? You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you won't be just witnessing for me. You'll bear witness unto me. Can you say amen? And the Bible said God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. We need it again. Amen. We don't realize it, but we need it as desperately. The presence of God is needed in the church as desperately as that man down in that oil rig in the dark. We need Jesus to embolden us. We need Him to bless us. We need His presence so we can be endeared to Him. We need more than a theological training session. We need the manifest presence of God. God shows up. Worship changes, because worship is not just sang to a congregation. It is given directly to God. When God manifests His presence, the Word takes on new meaning. Can you say amen? It's God's Word and we tremble at it. We take it to heart. We put it into practice. We don't take it or leave it anymore. Wow. Well, when God shows up, there's a purifying. Amen. When God manifests Himself in the temple, what happened? Woe is me, for I'm undone. Amen. And God was then, when we cry for that holiness, amen, an angel shows up again and takes a coal from the altar and presses it to the lips of the man that's going to speak for God. Wow. And if it wasn't for that presence, what kind of prophet would he have been? He came out of there with fire. Can you say, man? Everybody say with fire. Glory to God. His lips had been touched with a coal of fire. Glory to God. Amen? Amen? There was something supernatural. There was something more than intellect to intellect communication. In the Old Testament, God came down on a mountain called Sinai. And because of this old covenant separation, God loved man, but God couldn't come to him, and he couldn't go to God in the sense of fellowship or relationship. So the mountain shook. The mountain trembled. Isaiah prayed, oh, that you would come down and cause the mountains to be on fire and to melt at your presence. Oh, that you would rend heaven and come down. Just Lord, we need you to manifest yourself. Even if it's in anger, whatever it is, it makes you come down. We don't want to feel like we're isolated from God and we're happy to practice our religion with no manifest presence of God. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down and make your name known. Come down on the mountain, oh God, and cause the mountain to flow down to the rivers and cause the rivers to boil like lava had hit them. Prophet said it's not enough to have religious training. It's not enough to pray to a God out there somewhere. We need a God who can come down. And something happened on Christmas Day that wasn't just a sentimental little thing about a baby. Something happened that shook hell up. Can you say amen? Because God came down. And He didn't come down to judge and to terrify a man with His holiness. He came down to seek us. Came down to save us. Can you say amen? God was manifest in the flesh. Ha, hallelujah. So there's a demonic world that we have authority over. There's an angelic realm that we have access to. Hallelujah. And here we sit going through. There's so many people are running after, how can I get a better SUV? How can I get a better watch? How can I flaunt what I've got to compete with the world to say, look what God has done in me? Listen, God is bigger than all that. God is bigger than all that. He's so much bigger than all of that. There's a highway called the highway of holiness. And the Bible said the deaf man hears on that road. The lame man jumps and runs on that road. The tongue of the dumb is opened up and they sing on that road. And God brought them back out of captivity. He said, your God is going to manifest to you. Can't come down in personal fellowship, but His power His miracles are going to return to you. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Is there a highway there? Does anything happen on that highway? Is it just a highway like any other highway? No, this is the King's highway. Glory to God. In the locker room coming out, see, that's why there's hope given when you've got this reality in your life. We were talking about guy that just came back to work there. I came out last week, another thing, an event that happened, and we ended up talking about God coming down and God helping people and God's miracles. We're standing there in the locker room talking about God's miracles. One thing was said that led to another thing, and instead of me having to, I didn't initiate any of these things. God initiated it. God set it up. God wants His name known. God wants His fame proclaimed. God wants people to know that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hey, can you say, man, this is not a religious head trip that leaves you empty and disappointed. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's what? While He's near. Can you say, man, God is near us today. Hallelujah. Wow. So as we move toward communion, this is different today. Because that blood and that body provided a grace that allowed us to come to God and God to come to us. Well, wasn't He already here? Not like He was going to come to us. He could be by you physically, but He couldn't be in you spiritually till after the cross. Amen. Can you say amen? They wanted Him to stay with them physically, didn't they? Amen. Remember when Mary ran out, the Mary that came to the tomb, and she ran out and she was going to grab Him, and He said, "Don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended." Now, there are theological variances on how people take this. Some people say He hadn't something about the glorifying of His body and all that kind of stuff. But I'm more practical in my approach to that. I don't think that if, because others did touch Him, he held Himself and He says, you know, touch me because spirit don't have flesh and bones. And He allowed Thomas to examine Him. And Thomas said, since you're willing to do that, I have no need for that. I'm sorry, I doubted. It was hard for me to believe my eyes. But now, forgive me. I'm a wicked man for even doubting you. I mean, he just collapsed down there in worship before the Lord, said, I don't have to put my hand in there. Amen. It's okay. I can see. I know who you are. It's hard to accept that the man I saw come down from that cross is the man standing here now. But I know that you are raised, and that's all I need to know. Amen. Don't be too hard on Him. God is so big and so vast and so wonderful. There's some things that you can hardly believe. Peter couldn't even believe the angel delivered him out of prison. Amen. He had to shake himself. He said, I thought it was a dream. Can you say amen? I thought I was dreaming. Can you, amen? This was so beyond my imagination of anything that could happen to me personally, amen, that I thought it was a dream until I actually began to realize, you know, when the skeeter bit him, if he was in Florida, he would have been, it's not a dream. I'm out of prison. An angel did come. He did just open these doors and he just disappeared and here I am. He ran to where the church was making prayer for him. And a little maid heard a knock on the door. They were praying so loud they were oblivious to it. And she said, it's Peter. And they said, shh, we're praying. I used to use the analogy, we're so busy praying, we're not looking for the supernatural anymore. Can you say amen? We're just waiting for something to happen. The answer was standing at the door knocking. And they were too busy praying for it to look and see if God was responding to their prayer. Finally, she was persistent, and they let him in. It's Peter! And he says, an angel came. Hallelujah. And I thought I was dreaming. I'll tell you, when God does that highway, when He brought them back, that highway of holiness, that highway, He said, you're back on track. Can you say, man, you're on the King's highway again. You were down in bondage, but you're back. And you're not just back in your land, you're back in the covenant. Can you say, man, you can expect things to happen. Lame men. Listen, healing's not just a New Testament thing or a charismatic thing. It was happening back there in the Old Testament. And God said, the lame man's going to, and this was also prophetic to something that was coming. A kingdom that was coming. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we're in that prophetic kingdom. There's no other one coming. He's come. Hallelujah. This highway is the highway that we're on. Hallelujah. The lame man there will leap as the hart. The blind will see, and the tongue of the dumb shall speak. Were we on that king's highway? Amen. John said, are you he that should be looking at another? He said, hey man, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the lame walk. I rest my case. I brought a kingdom. We're in that kingdom. Oh my, how we need God to manifest himself again to us. Can you say, man? So here's what they said. You heard about Peter thinking it was a dream. It was so beyond him. When they walked out of Zion, he said, when they walked out of Babylon captivity because of God's supernatural deliverance, and they actually were on the road home. They're on the road home. And they finally realized, like Peter realized, that God is God. And when he says something's going to happen, the circumstances bow to his will. No matter what world power holds them in bondage, when he says, let my people go, they're going to be let go. Can you say amen? Oh, you didn't hear me today. They're going to be let go. When God manifests his power, kings and kingdoms are going to be shaken so that his will can be done. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So what did they say? They said, when God, on their way back home, and realized this is not a dream. He said, it seems like a dream, but it isn't, but it's so good it seems like it. That same euthanism is used again. He said, when God turned again the captivity of Zion, we were as those that dream. This is so great and so wonderful. It seems like we're dreaming it. It's so beyond our comprehension and practical reality, but it isn't. It's God. It's our God. Hallelujah. And guess what happened? We were as those that dream. And then when we realized it wasn't a dream, it was reality. Our tongues were filled, our mouths were filled with laughter, and our tongues were filled with song. Can you say amen? True revival, there's a whole lot of people filled with joy because God is manifesting himself to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is manifesting himself. And without it, we have spiritual, they're not even spiritual, they're just formulas, faith formulas. We're into faith formulas now. There's a formula for everything. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. We have our confession is the power. That scripture's in the context of what Christ has done for us on the cross and what we now have through his shed blood. And we're to stand on that truth without wavering. That's called the word of our testimony concerning what the blood has accomplished. It is not a formula for man taking God's seat and calling riches to them and all of this nonsense. It's that scripture that's pulled out is sitting in the context of the gospel and what Christ has done for us at Calvary. And we're to stand on that faith that was once delivered to the saints and hold it fast and not let it go. And what communion is a holding fast of the faith that was once delivered to the saints, that everything we have, everything we are, all of our hopes and dreams, all of our spiritual authority, everything hinges on what he did on that cross. Can you say amen? Everything emanates from what he did on that cross. And we come to proclaim that we are saved and that Satan is defeated. Amen? Because of his cross and his sacrifice. Because a new covenant was established. Hallelujah. And now God can come to us. Manifest himself to us. Hallelujah. Amen. When he said, lo, I'm with you. Amen. They sensed his presence. Even when they couldn't see him anymore. He said, and they wondered, how are you going to be with us and not with the world? He said, here's how that's going to work. If I don't go to the Father, the Holy Spirit will not come, but if I go to the Father, he'll send you another comforter. You know what that is actually in the Greek phraseology? Another one like me. In other words, he who you can't see are going to make me who you have seen real to you, even though you don't see me. Another of the same kind, because God is one. One in purpose, one in character, one in nature. Father, Son, Holy Ghost make up one. Hallelujah. And they said, wherever we go, Jesus is with us. Jesus. We're not preaching a Jesus sitting in heaven and we're alone down here. We're preaching a Christ that is right here with us. right in this very, where two or more of you are gathered together in my name, where is he in relation to them? Where is he? There am I in the midst. How many are here in the name of Jesus, not in the name of Bobby Venable? How many here are not in my name? How many here are not in the name of the Holy Church of God? How many here are not in the name of the Southern Baptist Convention? How many here are not in the name of the Presbyterian? Amen. How many are here in the name of Jesus Christ today? You know who saved you. You came to honor him. How many? Wave at me. Where is he? Right now. Right here. I'm talking about him. Him. I know he's in us all, but where is he in relation to this gathering? Right here. Right now. There am I. There am I. We're not worshiping a God up here. We're worshiping God in here to receive our worship. It's as if Jesus has come in, sit down on the front row, and Mike is playing. And looking over there, and Jesus saying, and Mike is saying, and Jesus saying, and Mike is saying, that's exactly what happened if he saw him sitting on the front row. Just because he don't see him sitting on the front row don't mean he's not on the front row. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise in this place. God is here. God is here. His wonders to perform. Hallelujah. Are you ready for Holy Communion? Not say it with me. Not only can I go to God, God can come to me. Say it again. Not only can I come to God, but God can come to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God wants to come to us and manifest himself to us. I am in the midst of my people to keep my promise to never leave you and never forsake you, saith the Lord. That you may be a bold people, a people that will stand upon my word and stand up for my truth and declare me to a gainsaying world. For it is in your bold declaration of me, this is the word, that I will confirm, saith the Lord. The only way to boldly declare him is to declare the truth according to the Scripture, but declare it with a conviction that doesn't just come because you buy in to what somebody's telling you, but that you know, that you know, that you know. Can you say, man? I never argue religion at work. I state my case biblically. And I have won. For I don't have to say anymore. I don't have to convince anyone. My greatest strength is that I am not trying to convince. I am declaring the truth. Whether people are convinced or not is between them and God. I simply proclaim. And every time we take communion, the Bible said we show his death. You know what that H-E-W is? That word is in the Greek? It's proclaim. It's to make a proclamation. Amen. If those doors were open and all this community could look in this morning, we would be declaring to them, our faith rests soundly, squarely upon the finished work of Christ upon the cross, his blood and his body. Hallelujah. That's the foundation for our faith. Amen. Someone come and serve us today. Let's receive this communion. Everybody say, God wants to do more in and through me. Say it again. God wants to do more in and through me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shalabaki salalamanite. Satan must laugh at some of the huge gatherings as people seek the things of this world. Is this such a time to go after silver and gold? The last of the last days, our world in crisis. More people lost and on the highway to hell than there's ever been. No, this is the time to seek him till he come, till he manifest himself, till he come and rain righteousness upon us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Go ahead and play that first song if you will. I love the Lord today. I'm glad he's done what he's done for me. Hallelujah. 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 I want to pour my life out, what's left of it. I've been pouring all these years. I don't want to stop pouring now. In fact, I want to pour it all. Hallelujah. God needs more of our life devoted. Lord, He's going to manifest to us and through us. He needs our hunger heightened for Him.
Put the stars in their place. Lord, it is Your voice.
Jesus.
Commands the morning.
Jesus.
Even oceans and their waves bow at Your feet. Lord, who am I? To Your glory.
Just to think that You want to come to us, Jesus.
Lord, who am I compared to Your majesty?
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I am Your beloved, Your creation,
Jesus.
And You love me as I. Lord, it was You.
How many need God's real presence in your life today? Not enough just to go to church somewhere, no matter how grand the program of presentation.
Lord, it was Your hand.
We need to take a giant step forward.
With the stars in their place.
Spiritually.
Lord, it is Your
take an extra time today. I believe it's been well spent.
Commands the morning.
God can just break through in our lives. We can just let Him come to us.
Hallelujah.
Give Him more. Give Him more of your heart, your focus.
Lord, who am I? To Your glory.
Push out the distractions, oh, right now. God can touch you one time this morning. Heal,
Lord,
the deepest hurt, the deepest pain
to Your
of Your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I am Your beloved,
yeah.
Your creation.
Hallelujah. Love You, Lord. We need You, Lord. Hallelujah.
One You've called chosen.
Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.
I am Your beloved, Your creation. And You love me as I am.
Come,
You have called me chosen for Your kingdom. None ashamed to call me Your own. I am Your beloved.
Oh, Jesus. Apostle Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took